I'm cheap. I will ask for my own applause. So thank you very much. I like habitually cannot stand on the stage, but we're excited to be here today to talk about this case study. And it's, so any baseball fans in the room? Okay, yeah. Well, that'd make it a little bit easier. So Katie and I are from Kansas City, where the, I don't know if you heard, the Kansas City Royals won the World Series last year. So this was the party in Kansas City. 800,000 Kansas Cityans showed up to welcome the Royals back. This is Union Station in Kansas City. I mean, you can boo. You absolutely can boo. And I'm going to say, so who's from Chicago? So I'm going to say something that will pain some of you on the north side. It's like, this is what happens when it's 30 years since you won a World Series. So I can only imagine for the Cubs when that happens. But anyway, clearly we love the Royals. And the only thing in Kansas City that we have that strong of intensity about, that love for the Royals, is our dislike of Joe Buck, who is a Fox Sports baseball announcer. And this probably goes back a couple of years, this dislike, this intense dislike, almost a love-hate relationship with Joe Buck, back to the 2014 World Series when the Royals were in the World Series then and playing the San Francisco Giants. And Joe made it clear, everything that Kansas City loves, Joe hates, and everything Joe hates, Kansas City loves. And we actually had people during the games, because Joe so loved the Giants in 2014, they would actually keep a box score every night of how many mentions the Giants got and how few mentions the Royals got. So it was pretty clear, you know, he hated us because he loved Madison Bumgarner, this great pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. So you can imagine my surprise when I was watching the playoffs in the World Series in 2015, when Joe all of a sudden started to talk about one of the most beloved institutions in Kansas City, the Kansas City Missouri Public Library. And it was like, whoa, he's talking about they're doing something with book spine poetry. I was like, okay. So I immediately texted my friend Kerry Coogan, who's the director of public affairs at the library. I was like, hey, you just got a mention on Fox broadcast. I heard. I was like, wow, for intellectual trash talk, because of something about they were tweeting out to other libraries and insulting them and things like that. So I immediately had two questions in mind. One was, what the hell is book spine poetry? And the second was, how did the Kansas City Library just sponsor bomb the World Series? You know, like a photo bomb, you get in front of something? How did this happen? So thankfully, we've got Katie Stover, Director of Reader Services from the library, to talk about how this came together, this campaign of really getting the library out there and some of the incredible results. So another Chicago welcome for Katie Stover. Katie.
Thanks. I'll need this. Yep. Yeah, so two things librarians know, which is you can write a book about anything and put any kind of title on it, and you can't copyright the title. You can ask me later on about some really weird titles that I could have used for book spine poetry, like Another Bullshit Night in Suck City, and thankfully I did not have to. But really quickly, what is book spine poetry? It's been around since 1993, and it was invented by an artist. Her name is Nina Khachaturian. And book spine poetry pops up for libraries, usually during National Library Week or National Poetry Month, which is in April. So I'm really glad that I'm here to talk to you about that. And book spine poetry is easy. You take a stack of books, you read the poem, one title after the next from the top to the bottom, and you choose books with really kicky titles, titles that are connected to whatever it is you want to talk about, and that's what we did. So what we first started doing, just to show our support for the Royals, is put together these little graphics and put them up on our Facebook page. Because like all of Kansas City, the library wanted to get in on supporting the team. And libraries are known for reading, and what could we do with books and reading to push out our message and still connect with the library? And I was reminded of this yesterday in Carrie Kirpin's talk, when she mentioned that your content should be authentic, it should be relevant, and it should be actionable. So we weren't really asking folks to do very much with our content, but we did want it to be authentic, and this is the voice we use, and we did want it to be relatable. Really easy to take words like story and books and tie them to the Royals. So that's what we did. And what does the library have to do with the baseball team? Nothing. But we wanted to be part of the Kansas City community that was trying to support the baseball team. And we also kind of wanted to gently remind the community who we are, what we do, we are here. This is just have an awareness of the library. We're paying attention to what's going on in Kansas City as much as the rest of the city is. I have like completely retweaked this presentation since attending the Social Media Strategy Summit. It's the first time I've ever been here, and I've got so much great info that I'm tying to what I've heard yesterday. The next promo that we did was this wonderful little graphic where we aped the Royals font and their logo, and we were very careful about that because we didn't want to infringe on their copyright. In 2014, that happened to a lingerie designer in Kansas City who put the Royals on the butt of some underwear, and then Homeland Security showed up and raided her panty store. So we wanted to make sure that Homeland Security would not come to the library and raid us for whatever. So we took this design, we just put readers, we messed with the font a little bit, we used the crown, pushed it out there on Facebook, and then later we took this graphic and we put it on t-shirts and we put it on buttons, which we used throughout the rest of the promotion. So it was just really wanted to be thoughtful, tying libraries to baseball. And then this was an ad that we were just lucky to repurpose. So I remember hearing other session leaders talk about repurposing some of your content. This was for an ad campaign for a reading initiative we were doing in October at the same time as the World Series was going on. It was for our Great City, Great Read, and we were celebrating the 150th anniversary of Alice in Wonderland. We just happened to go out to the ballpark in August for a photo shoot, and then we were able to use this photo during the ALCS with Slugger reading our Alice in Wonderland book. So another great tie-in for the library, just letting them know that, yes, we're still running this reading promotion. You can read the book while you're not watching the games. You can read during the day. And we were just able to capitalize on Slugger reading, because reading is also an initiative of the Kansas City Royals. It's one of their community projects. They're always in support of early literacy. So it was also nice to tie into that. If you're wondering where is the library's logo throughout all of this, the library doesn't have one. We do have a recognizable font, and that's up at the top, the Kansas City Public Library. We did not go overboard pushing the library, but we made it plain that we were pushing the Royals, and this was in support of the Royals. In general, we don't push our logo that way. We don't brand our social media or even any of our printable deliverables that way. We want to push out the program or the subject, and in this case, we really just wanted to push out our support, that we were part of the community supporting the baseball team. So baseball and books, Royals read, it was a wonderful combination. And then this photo is another repurposed photo, and it's not even our photo. This photo is probably the most tweeted, posted, tagged photo of the Kansas City Public Library. That is not the Kansas City Public Library. That is our parking garage. And it's a bunch of book spines, and there have been patrons found wandering around in the parking garage looking for the books. No, they're on the other side of the street. But what we loved about this is we have some clever, witty guy on staff who wrote this. We thought this was fun. We shared it around the office, and then we put this up on Facebook. Something to remind you all, the first couple of photos I've shown you, those were all on our Facebook page. And we got some decent shares, and I mentioned those because Michi talked about the shares and engagement, and that was important to us. But with this photo, we threw in some blue, used our iconic parking garage, and we kept our posts spaced out. Michi talked about that yesterday, too. Like most nonprofits, we posted once a day, but with our baseball stuff, we were posting only one a day, and we were spreading them out over a couple of days. We really didn't want to water down what we were doing. We really didn't want to have to suffer. We didn't want our viewers to suffer from any sort of fatigue. So several days in between. And it also gave us time to gather our public affairs team, which has a lot of smart people, and think about what it is we wanted to put out for the next promotion, the next graphic, the next slide. So again, we kept up with the authentic, believable voice, and we were respectful, we had a playful tone, and we wanted to be relevant in the manner of our support. And then the director of marketing wanders by my office and says, hey, how about a book spine poem for today's graphic? And I said, all right, I'm the one that knows how to do that because I'm the reader services person. So I gathered a bunch of books, and we all sat around the table. We stacked them up. How will it work? I taught my marketing folks how to do book spine poetry. And we came up with this. And this one we put up on the Facebook page, but we tweeted it out, and we tagged the Blue Jays, we tagged the Toronto Public Library, because we know that they also have a friendly, lively Twitter feed. And then we were surprised at all the stars and all the retweets we got over that. And I'll take a moment to tell you that none of our retweets, none of our stars, none of our shares, none of our likes came from the Royals. That's not what they do. I don't know if we got any from the Blue Jays. I know that an awful lot of these probably came from Toronto Public Library's followers, but not the Royals. They don't do that with their Twitter feed. They don't like other people's stuff. They don't respond to other people's stuff. They didn't respond to anything that we tweeted or tagged them on Facebook. They let it sit there. They don't respond to anything. I think that's part of their social media policy. The fans, though, go bananas when they see this stuff. And this campaign really took off when the Toronto Public Library, also known for a healthy social media presence, Toronto lobbed back the next day, and this campaign probably would have died if they hadn't, because there wouldn't have been any reason for Kansas City Public Library to post another book spine poem. But they did. They were willing to play. And really think about the personalities at work here. We've got Canadians. We've got Kansas City people in Missouri. You've got the Canadians and the Midwestern, that nicey-nice vibe. I mean, we just make America look good. Apple pie, baseball, of course, we're going to treat each other well. And notice the number of retweets and stars for Toronto Public Library. That's mostly their followers in addition to ours. So this was a win for both of the libraries. We were very happy that they tweeted back, and that they tweeted back kindly. And they kept on doing it. Right after game two, they threw us that. And it was great to see them responding kind and kindly. They were paying attention to the authentic voice that we were exhibiting, and they adopted the same voice. They were paying attention to the relevancy of the message. This is just going to be a lot of playful fun between libraries. We're just going to have a good time on Twitter here. And again, notice the number of retweets, the number of stars, who's tagging. They were fantastic to work with. And we never let them know we were going to do this. We did not contact Toronto Public Library in advance. And I tell you that because we did do that with the New York folks. We were super jealous of the awesome Blue Jay swag that Toronto Public Library had, because all we had at Kansas City Public Library was one of those squishy softballs that you put on tables during meetings to keep people awake, and my battered Kansas City Royals baseball cap. So all the prop things, those are mine. And then, see, there they are. And then, of course, KCPL responded again. We lost that game. It was a blowout. It was a real ego crusher. But we put together another one and playful again. Notice we didn't get as many retweets and stars for this one. And that's also probably at the time that we screen capped this, that we might have gotten more during the course of the day. But Toronto Public Library had quite a few more followers at the time we were doing this. We also brought out, speaking of repurposing things you might already have in your coffers, we brought out a 2012 video that Kansas City Public Library did on how to write book spine poetry. And we put that up on our Facebook page, and that got a lot more views. And that had been just buried in our internet storage. So it was really nice to pull that out in relation to this campaign and let folks know there's more to what's going on in your library. You can repurpose your other material. And then in my notes here from Alan's presentation this morning, I thought for a moment, well, who were our competitors? Who were we working with or against as far as this campaign goes? There are four library systems in the Kansas City area. We were not really competing with them, and we didn't think about that, and we weren't trying to compete with them. Our competitors, if there were any, were other people who were doing Royals-supported campaigns with their social media. And one of the best is the Kansas City Water Department. And all they did was put out a tweet, like, you know, show us your Royals pride, what will you do? And one of their challenges was dye your hair blue. Well, I did that for them, and they tweeted the photo out. And it's not in this presentation, but I was rocking the blue hair that day. And then they sent me just a water bottle, and like really cute, but just fun things that all these community or that these community agencies and organizations were doing in fun to support the team. And so those were our competitors, just what was trending and what could we keep up with. We did not try to, we weren't trying to compete or do better than the other libraries in the system. And of the other libraries in the system, one of them started to do a book spine poetry campaign, but they weren't tagging the library, and they weren't tagging the opposing team's library. They weren't tagging Toronto, too. So their campaign kind of fell a little bit flat because they weren't really working with us. They were kind of working against us. And that probably worked against them as far as their campaign went. Another library in the metro area instead just jumped on board wholeheartedly with the support, retweeted everything, had their own staff doing stuff and tagging things. So that worked. That worked really well, and that's another thing that we did was that we also let our staff know, in the various branches, what the library was doing. So we were encouraging staff to retweet. We were encouraging staff to star, to like, to send in their own book spine poetry, because it really worked well if the staff knew what we were doing in public affairs. All the folks who were working in the trenches, it made them part of the public affairs team, because we're really pretty far removed from a lot of our staff members. And so it worked for staff morale, it worked for support for this whole campaign, and it was really neat to get their ideas and their suggestions for what we could be doing next with book spine poetry. And then, of course, the Kansas City Star picked up on this first. And that's because our hometown paper has a really strong relationship with the library. We feed them a lot of authors to interview, we feed them some great programming, and we follow each other closely on Twitter and Facebook, so they were paying attention to what we were doing, and they picked up on this first. And then SB Nation picked up on it. Maybe it was a slow news day, maybe, but we played into the librarians and athletes stereotype, and the media were happy to follow us there. There's always one fun human interest story that comes out of a championship series like this. The libraries just happened to be it, and we were lucky. We were lucky that we were the ones that the national media wanted to pick up on. As far as BuzzFeed goes, we were adopting some of that. BuzzFeed loves this sort of stuff, and we had the right kind of snarky humor angle going so that BuzzFeed would have a lot of fun talking about it. And then NPR, we had the right level of wit for NPR, so they were willing to do it as one of those really quick bumpers that they do during Morning Edition. And then, of course, CBC News picked up on it. And then once MLB picked up on it, then it turned into a big thing that everybody was paying attention to. We're a nonprofit, non-political institution with an education, public-funded mission that everyone can support. You looked like a bad guy if you didn't like what we were doing, because who doesn't love libraries? Whether you use them or not, whether you have a library card, whether the last time you were in a library was when you were there for story time, everybody is in favor of a library in your neighborhood. So this was a nice win for us. And we also just kept the conversation going. All the summit speakers I've heard yesterday and most of today have talked about how important the conversation is, and this is part of it. So it was a really good way for the library to keep the conversation about the library going in social media. This was a story that made people smile, and Carrie mentioned that. Whenever your posts show up, what do you want people's faces to do? We wanted people to laugh. We wanted them to think, oh, that's weird, or even think, oh, libraries, what are you doing? But they thought that was cute and that we were happy that they were at least reacting and then they were responding to what we were doing. So the content, we made sure the content matched the personality of the library and that the content was relevant. And then we really knew we hit the big time when SportsCenter retweeted this. Because were we really trash-talking the way people trash-talk? No, it was really, it was what Mike called it, intellectual trash-talk. So they took all of this, and then we were all just gobsmacked at the number of retweets and the number of favorites for this. It's easy to poke fun at libraries, and it's easy to like us, and we were happy to let the media kind of poke some fun. The quote that Mike mentioned that he heard Joe Buck say was, "Settle down, librarians," and we all thought, we're all screaming like, yeah, that's awesome. Mike asked me to talk a little bit about strategy, because when I first talked to him about this, it's like, oh, this really is kind of like that thing that Alan mentioned this morning, the lightning in a bottle and genius just struck. No, not really. Because in 2014, when the Royals made the World Series, we did a little bit of this and we got a little bit of notice, not a lot. It made BuzzFeed and we were happy with that. It really took off this year because we had the Toronto Public Library get involved right away during the ALCS. And because we were in the run-up to the World Series, we started to get a lot more media attention. It wasn't until, with 2014, the Giants, the San Francisco Public Library responded a little bit, but not a lot. So that our strategy this year was, yeah, we'd probably think about doing this again, but we didn't know if we would get any sort of mention from the media. We weren't thinking about it. But as far as strategy went, we were kind of making it up every day as we went along, and we didn't always have a lot of time. But at least we knew what our voice was, and we knew what our message was. And we pulled all the staff together and said, look, this needs to be on our radar for the next couple of days. And everybody pitched in to put together the best posts and come up with the best lines that we could use in our social media campaign. And I remembered our staff and colleagues. We received contributions from staff all over to use. And it was just great to see that we were also reaching our staff with our social media campaign. And then always with the keep true to our tone, which is nice. We're not going to really smack talk these other libraries. So when Toronto finally lost, we sent them that. We always had two posts ready to queue up. One was a congratulations, Royals. And then one which was a great job, loved playing with you, to the opposing team. And for us, the opposing team was not the Blue Jays. It's the other library. So it was important for us to keep the audience engaged and let them know that we noticed what they were doing as well. So if you see all the retweets, all the likes, and then there were lots of responses as well. We responded to almost every single tweet and comment that we got. And for us, that was really important because, number one, it kept the conversation going. It kept this campaign in the public eye. But it also let folks know that their library was responsive, not just about this, but responsive to everything else. Our regular followers, our diehard followers, already knew that if you had a customer service complaint, you had a problem with your overdues, and you tweeted or Facebooked about it, we'd take care of it. But now we were letting the rest of the world and the rest of the Kansas City community know that, yes, we're responsive. We're paying attention to you. What you say about us, how you respond to us matters, and we will thank you for it. So, again, just used everything from our staff, and we had to use our staff to help respond to a lot of these things. And then we talked to for the New York area libraries. Now, since we knew we were going into the World Series championship with them, we did let New York Public and Queens Library know that we were going to continue this. We knew they had seen the media push that had happened through SB Nation, but we wanted to let them know that we're going to keep this up. We're going to do some friendly trolling, just so you know. We never heard from them, but we did want to give them the heads up that we were doing this because we didn't have any idea what the media response would be, but it wouldn't be fair to not let them know ahead of time if they wanted to put something together. Their responses had more of that New York attitude, which we were expecting, and I am from New York, so I prepped our social media strategies person, Liesl Christman, who put all this together. It's like, you should be ready for this, and just don't take it personally. So we got, this is just the way New Yorkers talk. Liesl, just get used to it. So we got a lot of, but they kept it up in good fun, too. And then finally, look what they gave us. Nice. Both libraries continued the friendly tone. The New Yorker fans, they were probably a little harsher, but that's fine. We didn't have to respond to them. We responded to our folks. It was easier to plot the book's fine poetry, knowing what was coming up for the World Series. So we had previously gathered the books, and we had a lot of book's fine poems ready to go for the photos. We had samples for every outcome. We lose game one, we win game one. Here's congratulations, here's thanks for playing. And we just had that stuff on board. We were able to do that, and which was crucial because at one point Liesl had to leave for about a week. And so she just had everything queued up and told the rest of the staff, this is what we do in case of win or lose. And that worked out really well. And we continue to reflect that Midwestern folksy stereotype. New York Public Library put a little more edge in theirs, and that was great, but it was a lot of fun for everyone. The enthusiasm never flagged, even though some of the book's fine poetry at times wasn't as clever as it was earlier in the campaign, and we admit that, but we were under a stronger time crunch at the time. We didn't get any more big media hits, nothing from the New York Times or the Daily News. The Kansas City Star had already been there, done that, covered it. But we always had a congrats royal picture and a good sport one for the opposing team. And then finally, after we tweeted our thank you royals, great job guys, we tweeted this one out to New York. I mean, again, keeping with that classy, relevant, warm, authentic voice that we wanted for our tweets. The point was to let folks know on social media that libraries can be cool. And then this was probably the last one. This was the one that we put up for the parade. And it's a little bit longer. I remember someone talking about rule of three. It's really hard to write a good book spine poem with just three books. So we would, as long as it all went together, it was a lot of fun to do. And we pulled kids' books. We pulled adult books. How this was a win for the library is that we let folks know that there were all sorts of things for them to be reading. And we did have some folks come and ask for the Kansas City related books and check them out and read them. So we saw an increase in CIRC, which is important for us. CIRC to us is users and consumers. So we wanted to be able to measure that as well. And then we hit the parade downtown. We did not do any book spine poetry for that, but what we did instead was take that graphic, the one that we turned into buttons and t-shirts. We all wore the t-shirts, we gave away those buttons, and those buttons became collectible. And that was another great way for folks to tie the library to the Royals. And during all of this, we kept getting requests for more book spine poetry. When are you going to do this again? And I'll talk about that in a minute. Really quickly, this is some of the stats that I put up for our board members, what they wanted to see. Like, what does this mean? Because our board members, none of them are on social media, and they didn't understand how this was resonating in the community and how was this a benefit for the library. So we showed them this, how many Twitter followers we had on October 1, October 29, same thing with Facebook. And then I looked up our stats on Tuesday. As of Tuesday, our Facebook likes had gone up another 3,000, and our Twitter followers are over 17,000. So this campaign has continued to generate goodwill, which is what the library is after, and continued growth in our social media reach. Those were our September impressions, 1,000. That was October. This was just gobsmacking for all of us when we saw this graph. So we put the book spine poetry to rest until opening day, when we threw out that one and we kept the voice, we put the trophy on a bookshelf, asked them for a matching bookend, said, hey guys, go. Made sure our logo is really small. It's all about the Royals. And this just started folks thinking again about how the library was tied to the baseball team during the World Series. And then the very last one we did was for the Ring Series. And we just said, congratulations, left it at that. We didn't try to replicate this campaign with any of our other initiatives because we didn't want to become victims of our own success and water it down for our users. We didn't want them to suffer from any sort of fatigue. We just wanted to remind people of our personality and our product and our services, and just remind them that there's books, there's reading. You can tie reading to almost anything you do in the Kansas City community. So, and now, Mike's portion.
So one of the ironies of this was, in just the oddities of baseball scheduling, when the Royals had started this season and got their rings, guess who we played?
Oh, right.
The New York Mets came to town. So the Mets actually had to stand there and watch all the celebration. But so to take, we actually weren't working with the library on social media. We're doing some branding stuff and some other strategy pieces. But what we do from a brain zooming side is always say, okay, well, with this case study, what can you all take away and start to apply? So I thought it was an interesting case study because it isn't a huge brand. And a lot of the, you know, what we call sponsor bombing, of sort of getting in the limelight of a big event, happens with big brands. So a few years ago, you know, when the lights went out at the Super Bowl, there was a big deal with Oreo and Tide, and you know, there's always this sense of you've got to have a big war room, you've got to have a lot of creative ready to go, and all these people tied into it, and there's an investment associated with that. And quite frankly, that's not what the library had. They were putting all hands on deck. But it wasn't like there was a war room associated with this and a full-on social media effort. So as you think about your brand and the possibilities for doing something like this, it doesn't always have to have a huge infrastructure behind it. A lot of it comes down to finding that high-attention event where you can stand somewhere near that limelight or that spotlight and do it in a smart way, do it in a credible way, and like Katie was saying, in an above-board way. You're not infringing on licensing rights or sponsorship rights. But there's some kind of angle that you can find between your brand. And my corporate life, I mean, we have done this with the Olympics, where we basically, in Kansas City and Cleveland, Ohio, sponsor bombed the Olympics by buying out the open and close of every TV break. And people thought we were official sponsors of the Olympics just because they saw us in every single break. So there's a variety of ways to do this, from not a lot of dollars to a little bit more dollars, but well short of being an official sponsor. Being above board means being smart and strategic, which they certainly were, tasteful and maintaining that voice of the brand and being really true, that they weren't trying to be something. But if you were in the workshop I did the other day, we talked about the various personalities that social media that you can have on social media. And it was a nice counterplay between sort of the more mild, confidant teacher aspect of the library and go a little bit more snarky and be able to go back and forth between those two. As we look at a lot of great content, we tend to see three things. It ties to the audience needs and interests, it's compelling, and your brand is in the right place. So again, played out here from the audience needs and interests. Baseball, obviously high interest in the Kansas City market, sports, competition. A couple of things I thought on the compelling communication side that the library tapped into that you don't necessarily always see. If somebody's trying to, you know, hit the Grammys up or do something with the Emmys or the Oscars, that's a one-night thing. The fact that this had duration, and again, the fact that the Royals were winning gave it that. So it was a couple-week opportunity to do this, and the active role for others to you know, make that change from the year before and actually call out the other brands and started to bring other parties into it certainly sustained it. And then obviously tied to the brand with books, poetry, reading. So it's just a really smart example of how these three come together and how you can think about for your brands, if we can find those opportunities, what does this start to look like? Now, there's not any guarantee that your impressions go from 100,000 to 5 million in that kind of range, but you can find these opportunities and try it out in a real strategic, predictable kind of way. You know, and just the thought behind it, that they were ready for, you know, you don't know how the sports event's going to turn out, but they're ready to go either way and had that content and that creative ready to go. So, again, we didn't prep or help with anything. I first found out about one literally when I was watching the Fox broadcast. That was my reaction, but just thought it was really smart. If you want to go get it, we've got an ebook on events and getting content out of events at info.brainzooming.com/SMSS, so Social Media Strategy Summit Events. It's just sort of a distillation of a lot of stuff. We're actually helping the library plan an event for May right now. And this is the book that we started out with. And let's go look at some of the models, the frameworks, and the questions to make sure that you get content out of it and really maximize some of the content. So that's free if you want to go get that. And with that, I will hand the microphone back to, and handle any questions. And no, we don't know when the Cubs are going to win the World Series. But
I was happy to see them win Tuesday night when I got into town.
It's like from your example, so.
Yes, it was.
Really
we
amazing.
Had, someone would come up with a funky tagline, and then we have an artist whose mind seems to be working about a bazillion seconds a minute, and he just immediately put together what it would look like. He knew how to grab the photo and just immediately fix it so that we could put it up. So from the time we came up with a tagline that would work, Andy could put together a piece of art in about 5 minutes because he would have a general picture of what would look best.
But you weren't putting any dollars behind any of the things.
No, we did not boost anything.
Could you tell me a little bit about the size of your team and how many of you work together on this campaign?
The size of our team, the public affairs department, I talk about that, it makes it sound like it's huge, it's not. There's me, the librarian representative, there's three artists, but only one who worked on it, one graphic designer who worked on it. There's our social media, our digital content specialist, Liesl Christman, and then our media relations manager who also worked on this. And we have one other writer on staff. I gathered every single book because they didn't know how to do book spine poetry. So the biggest role I played was teaching the staff how to do it and then left a table full of books and they all just started to play with it. So that really sparked some creativity too. But we only had about 5 people working on this and we would probably spend, we would look at the results, the sports results from the night before. We were all thinking as we were following along, okay, what are we going to do in the morning? We can take an hour or two if we need it before we have to post something because it's not also that timely that we have to respond. We have a day before the game starts again that night, if there was another game that night, to put something together. And if there was a rest day, then we were grateful that we had 36 hours. Like we could put together something really cool like Andy playing with the bookshelf, the garage, and doing some really fun color stuff. Because if you'll notice, that one's probably the one that probably required the most work. He had 2 days to do that one. And all the rest of the book spine poems, we would just stack up possibles, and then we would rearrange others. And people would do that on their lunch break. I'm like, hey, this is fun. What's great for me, because the public affairs folks, they don't normally get to read and wander around the stacks, and that's what I do. So it was neat for them to see what was on the table. What is it that they're pushing out for this institution that they work for? It was neat for them to see the books. So about 5 or 6 people that do all manner of different things. We realized that on Twitter, folks were responding to a fresher, hipper, snarkier attitude. So we switched our tone over a little bit on Twitter. We weren't getting that much, as much traffic on Facebook. It would get liked. We weren't getting that many comments. And so we just kept the graphics interesting and pretty. We also tightened up our content on Facebook. And I heard that in one of the sessions yesterday as well. Don't write so much text. You don't want people to click on the continue reading when you look at it for mobile. So in the back of our minds, we kept that. We thought of that as well. So even if we were pushing out a regular event, we would just write something pithier that would make folks want to click on the link that would take them to the event in the RSVP. We worked on our tone a little bit more when we noticed that this tone resonated with the community. Oh, around the time this happened, we had about 10,000. Over the very final book spine poem one, the one where we won.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and some of these, the screen caps didn't catch them all. And time of day had something to do with it. Yes, they just happened to pick up on it. I think the BuzzFeed people were watching anyway, because the year before when KCPL and San Francisco Public Library did a little bit of this, they picked up on it and they did a couple of stories on Kansas City, why Kansas City is great, 10 things we like about it, the sort of thing that BuzzFeed does. They did a little one on, oh, library trash talk, and that was it. But I think they knew that this could possibly happen again, so BuzzFeed was ready for whatever they wanted to write about that was World Series related, because they're always following the trends. And then we were just icing on the cake. Libraries trash talking, that's funny, that's sexy, that's weird, and this is the profession that brought you shush, who would think that they would talk nasty to other librarians. So